thank everyone for praying for me over the past, that I won't be, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother, sister. I want to thank you for keeping me in your prayers and being understanding, and even when it, maybe you don't understand what's going on. And but if you trust me, then it won't, even if you don't understand what's going on, why, at least you'll believe me when I tell you, you know, I needed some time. And so I just wanted to thank y'all, and I'm thankful for this group, and thankful for the love of this group, and I just I couldn't think of anywhere else I'd rather be while we're here on this side than right here with these folks. And I love y'all. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in word of prayer before we go to scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, within myself, Lord, I couldn't do it if it all depended on me, Lord, because, Lord, I can't make the gift, even though you've given me a gift, I can't make it work, Lord. Lord, it takes, Lord, the anointing of God and the pull of the people, and, Lord, then that gift will work, Lord. Lord, there's nothing I can say that would help anyone, but if you'll come and speak through me, Lord, then it'd be the words of life, Lord, and it'd be everlasting help to them. We ask for your guidance this morning, Lord, through the scripture. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I've had different questions asked me over the past few months and at time to time. And so as I was seeing that what let me know I was that the Lord wanted me now to speak, as he started laying this message on my heart here. And it's been probably a month that it's been cooking. So hopefully it'll answer some questions and give us some guidance. Verse 15, be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but a few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You may be seated. Sometimes people expect more of the ministry than, or of a pastor or minister, preacher, teacher, evangelist. If they're in the ministry, they expect more of them than what they should. We're human, and we're subject to human frailties, and we're not Superman, and we're not free of faults, and we're not above making mistakes. Even so much as we're not above backsliding. Now, you say, well, what could a preacher backslide? Brother Ram said he did. So, and there's those in the Bible that did. And one of the things that I'll say about that is, as long as God's moving forward, if you stand still, you've just backslid. Amen. Some people say, I ain't backslid, I just ain't moved. Well, if God keeps moving forward, then you're living left behind. I looked at this and many of y'all knew I told you about the thing that had been posted on Facebook and online, and even though it was up there only from Friday to Monday, from a Friday night to a Monday night, why, even that little bit of time, that thing spread everywhere. And there's people asking friends of mine down in Murfreesboro about it, and people up in Kentucky know about it, and who, heaven knows only who all knows and saw and read that thing. And that's one of the things about it. They say when you put something out there on the internet, once it's out there, it's out there. And, you know, they say if the person who posted on Facebook took it down, as long as nobody copied it and pasted it, why, it's down. But if anybody copied and pasted, then it's still out there. And people like sensationalism. They like to, anything that, you'll find more people reading gossip things on the counters, on the checkout counters, than you'll find reading newspapers. Why? It's more sensational what they see on there. And people love to believe something that will just be a real good, juicy story to tell. And some years ago, there were some things that I came across and had to deal with, and some things that were said about me, and I felt so bad about it, and I was trying to deal with it, and the Lord began to deal with me and told me he didn't call me to go out and defend myself. Amen. And so I can't run around, everybody that's read that, I can't run around and say, hey, that ain't true. But if they got enough of Christian in them, then they shouldn't want to accept something without checking it out. Because that's how each of us like to be treated, wouldn't we? Somebody heard something bad about us, why, we'd like to not just to believe it right off, but come and check and see and find out, you know. And I know myself, there was somebody, when I first moved down here, I've met a lot of different people from the state of Kentucky, a lot of different people here in the state of Tennessee, and I'd go down and I'd fellowship with Brother Howard Carroll, and when different ones heard I was going down there fellowship with, they'd tell me, be careful now, he preaches false doctrine. And I heard that when I first came down here, everywhere I went, I'd hear that. He preaches false doctrine, he preaches two souls. And what I would always tell him is, well, I don't know nothing about that because I ain't never asked him. I said, but one thing I can tell you, and this is after I'd been here about maybe 2 or 3 years, I told somebody, well, one thing I can tell you, he's treated me better than any other preacher I've met around. I said, I can tell you that, you know. And but one time I got the opportunity, had Brother Carroll up to preach, and we got the opportunity to talk back in the office and that. And it was about the second time he come preach for us, and I just kind of brought it up. And come to find out, well, if they think he's preaching false doctrine, then I must be preaching it too, because we believe the same thing. And now there might be some that has associated with him and took something he said and run off in left field, but that ain't no reflection on Brother Howard Carroll. I know how he believes it, and I believe it the same. But with that said, you know, I think about the people that were speaking against Brother Carroll, you know, at that time, they were actually speaking against the brother. Maybe thought they was warning me, but they were speaking against him. And I can tell you this, they were only saying it because somebody else had told them. It wasn't because they went and asked Brother Carroll or went and heard him or whatever. They were only saying it because somebody else told them, so they were just passing it on. Now, Brother Branham says about that, he said, if you kill a man's influence, you might as well just shot him, because in God's eyes, you're a murderer. And he quoted the scripture, said, "Touch not mine anointing to do my prophets no harm." So need to be careful. Need to be very careful. And I know, I trust that if anybody was to ask you something about me, you know, you'd tell them, well, you know what? I can tell you, but why don't you just go talk to him? Come and ask me. You know, and I tell you, I've made some mistakes. I've faltered, and I had it real rough going through this time that I've been going through. And there's times where I was in such a state and frame of mind that I would literally do anything to escape it. And I'd try anything just to escape it. And I did. And somebody sent me a text not long ago. I don't know who it was. They sent it anonymously. But I just want to say this, whoever it was. The Bible says that if you see a brother sin a sin that's not a sin unto death, that you're to go to them and you're to give them life. And so that's all I got to say about that. You didn't say go to them anonymously or threaten them with a text. So I've talked with the officers, every officer of this church. I've talked with all of them about what I was going through, and I've talked to them about things that happened. And so there's no officer in this church that's left in the dark on anything concerning me. So if somebody thinks they got something to run and tell them, some news that they wouldn't know, I've already beat you to it. You know, Noah, let's take a look at Noah. We know the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. We know about the ark. We know about the rainbow. We know about the covenant that went with the rainbow. We know all those things. And I believe we all believe that, how many believes Noah was a prophet? The Bible says that after the flood, that Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard. And this is in Genesis 9, and it said that he drank the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent. Now, here's a prophet of God. Who knows why or what state and frame of mind he was in that caused him to do this, but he got into a frame of mind where he was drunk. And even in that state, Brother Branham makes mention of it. Brother Branham's talking about Noah, you know, and he says he went off and become a drunk. Well, even in that state, God still looked at him as his prophet and his anointed. And I can prove it to you. His youngest son, Ham, went in and saw his nakedness. I've read different things of scholars, what they said that they thought might have happened, but just as the Bible says it, he saw his father's nakedness, went out and told his two older brothers, and they took a cloth and walked backwards into the tent and covered up their father. And after Noah woke, knew what his younger son, the Bible said, had done unto him, that he then turned and he cursed not Ham, but he cursed Ham's offspring, his son Canaan. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan." Now, God honored that. When Abraham was going to send his servant, Eliezer, to go get a wife for his son Isaac, he said, "Do not take a wife among these Canaanites." Why? They were cursed by God. So then we find later that, you know, it comes from Isaac and down to Jacob, and then Jacob's sons, and then Jacob had a son named Judah. And Judah went and took a wife of a daughter, the Bible says, of a certain Canaanite. And she bare him three sons. And it took a wife for the first son. Y'all know the story. It was Tamar. And he was wicked in God's eyes, so God killed him. So according to the law, she was given to the second, and he was to raise seed up to his brother. And he was evil and didn't want to do that. The Bible says he spilled his seed on the ground, and God slew him. Come down to the last son, and we knew Judah didn't want to give her to the last son. He had done lost two. You know, I don't know what his thoughts were, but he did not want to give Tamar to the last son he had. But this is what I want to say to you. God never intended for any three of those sons to bring forth offspring to carry on Judah's name. Because Judah had married a Canaanite. And the line, through the line of Judah was to come Christ. And Christ couldn't come through a line that had been contaminated by a cursed people. So then it was God that moved on Tamar to do what she did. And then the line of Judah was preserved because of Tamar going and dressing herself up. Judah, thinking she was a prostitute, went in unto her. And then later, they said, your daughter-in-law, she's pregnant. He said, go get her. And he was going to pronounce judgment on her. But she had took tokens from him. And she said, the man whose these tokens belong to, he's the father. And Judah recognized him. He said, she's more just than I am. But notice God was not going to let that lineage come from be contaminated by a cursed people. And that all come from a prophet, Noah, putting a curse on people because of something his youngest son had done. Huh. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad that even naturally my lineage doesn't come from Ham. Abraham, and these stories I'm telling you, I know you all know, but just to bring them to the forefront of your mind, Abraham journeyed down to Kadesh. When he got down there, why, he was afraid that, because, see, this is after Sarah had, and he had received a body change. And Sarah, he was afraid that if the king looked on her beauty, and knew he was her husband, he was afraid for his life that he'd get killed. So he told what some people, you know, some people like to take lies and categorize them, say, well, this is just a white lie, like it's okay. Well, he told a little bitty one. He told a little fib. Because Sarah was actually his half-sister. But he said, she's my sister. He said, and he told her, you tell him that you're my sister. Now, there are some people that say, well, I didn't lie. I just didn't tell it all. That's wherein the lie lays here. Because when she said, I am his sister, that was true. But she left out the part that she was also his wife. And in leaving out that's wherein the lie laid. So be careful. You say, well, you know, I didn't lie about it. I just didn't tell it all. You purposely leave some of it out like they did. God considers it a lie. And so the king, we know the story. The king took her in, was going to make her one of his wives. And the Lord came to him in a dream and told him that I'm going to kill you if you touch this woman, because it's that man's wife. And the king said, I did it in all the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hand said, that man told me that was his sister. And God spoke to him and he said, this is what God said. He said, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he'll pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thy and all that are thine. So now this man who had left out a certain truth, God looked down and said, not only give him back his wife, but you have him pray for you. Why? Because he was God's anointed. And even though you be God's anointed, it doesn't make you free from mistakes, because it's God anointing human flesh. And I'll tell you something. My biggest enemy is Jerry Lee Browning. The flesh of Jerry Lee Browning is my biggest enemy. And if I let it, it'll get me into all kinds of trouble. And I've got to die to it and kill that man. Sometimes I got to kill him every day of the week just to keep him down under my feet. And but I'll tell you this, and I say this with all humility, I'm still God's anointed. God sent me here. He's anointed me. And God has worked through me. Brother Branham says this. He said, somebody asked him, said, could you backslide if you had the Holy Ghost? He says, well, sure you can. Yeah, well, you know, I'm one of those say what he setters. You know the story of Elisha. And I know you know the story, but there's something I want to point out about it. You know, when those children came down there and began to mock Elisha, after, remember, Elisha had went up, he'd saw Elijah caught up in a chariot. The mantle had fell back onto Elisha. Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's spirit, turned around and smote the waters of the river and said, where is the God of Elijah? And the waters parted, and he walked across. He comes down and there's a fountain, a well, that the water is somehow contaminated and unto death. And so he takes a cruse from it, puts some salt in it, pours it back in there and says, now it'll no longer be a fountain of death. And the water was made pure. Now don't try that. Don't try putting salt in something and making water pure. It had nothing to do really with the salt as it did that the prophet blessed it. Whatever prophet blessed is blessed. Whatever he curses is cursed. It's the truth. Well, Elisha after that said these children come making fun of him and said, go up, old ballhead. What they were telling him was they didn't believe that Elijah had went up in a caught up in a chariot the way Elisha had told it. So they didn't believe it. So they were mocking him, saying, well, if that's true, then why don't you go up? Brother Branham says that Elisha was a young man and said he had went bald as a young man. Now we know men can go bald when they're even just young, in their 20s, 30s, men can go bald. And here they begin to mock him and call him old ballhead. But here's the thing Brother Branham said, and the thing I want to point out to you. Brother Branham said it was their parents that sent them down there to mock the prophet. I've seen over the years that I have, friends, I've been in this message since, I don't know, goodness, 1968, 69, something like that. And I know that made me pretty young, but as I told you before, I guess God, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse sometimes, but God just gave me a memory. And I tell you, that's why I was so scared going through this thing I was going through, because my memory wasn't working right. But I can remember growing up, I can remember how that things were and how people were and the attitudes of people and the attitudes of children. And I can tell you this, as time went on, I have begun to see less and less a respect for the ministry. And the reason that is behind it is because it gets passed down from one generation to another. Mom and dad driving in a car speak against the minister or the ministry. Little Susie and little Johnny sitting in the back seat hear it. And they grow up under that. I knew a man that grew up under a father who held great disrespect for the ministry. And you know, when it come down to it, it affected that man really bad. And I was talking with him one time, and I told him, I said, the thing that I can't understand is the disrespect for the ministry. I just can't understand that. I know there's a lot of preachers that have done wrong. I know there are, and I know the Bible says gifts and callings are without repentance. All right? But just because there's a gift, that if that man doesn't yield that gift to God, then he's not a God-called preacher. I know there's been many false out there, but you know what? There is counterfeit money out there too. And no matter how much counterfeit money that's out there, it don't make the real McCoy any less valuable. It doesn't affect the value of the real thing. That's the way it is in the ministry. There might be many false out there, but that doesn't mean God ain't got some real ones. And you need to be careful, because these children, the parents, Brother Ram said, sent them children down there to mock him, and they were saying what their parents had said. Because Brother Branham said their parents didn't believe that Elijah had been caught up in a chariot. And so they saying that if he was caught up in one, why don't you get caught up in one if that's true? Well, that same spirit said one time, said, if thou be the Son of God, save yourself and save us too. Same spirit. And the prophet turned, and Brother Branham said he was angry, and he turned and he cursed those children. And it said she-bears came down out of the woods and ate, 42 children? I think it was? Yeah, 40 and two children, that's right. Ate them all. Because why? They had come down there and were showing disrespect to God's prophet. There's another thing that I've been asked about, and that was, someone said that they wondered if there was anywhere in the Bible where a pastor would take time off. And I didn't say anything at the moment. They said something they thought the Lord had showed them, but I didn't reply anything at the moment. But it just stayed on my mind. And I want to tell you about Elijah. Elijah, you know, I got a picture back there, painting in my office of Elijah's called 400 to 1. And here he stood against 400 of Baal's prophets. And we know the story, how Elijah mocked them. Elijah said, we'll see whose God is God. We'll each build an altar. We'll each put a sacrifice. And he says, and whosoever God answers with fire, let him be God. Now, Elijah, in this, friends, listen now. That was took a lot of courage and a lot of faith from Elijah. And not only that, but Elijah, just to make his point, had them dig a trench around his altar, fill it full of water, and pour all kinds of water until he saturated his sacrifice, saturated his altar, and the trench around it was filled. And we know that the prophets of Baal, they did all kinds of shouting and dancing and jumping and cutting themselves and everything else, but no fire came. But when Elijah called on Jehovah, fire came down out of heaven, and it said it consumed the sacrifice, it consumed the altar, and said it licked the water out of the trench. Wow. We love those glorious times, don't we? When God comes down and just really does something and shows himself to be God and just encourages and lets us know he's with us. We love those great times. Elijah, under that anointing, went out then, took a sword, and cut the heads off of 400 men. I'm going to tell you something. It takes some strength to cut a head off. But 400? A lot of people talk about Samson's strength. But I'm going to tell you something. It took a lot of strength. It took some divine strength to cut 400 heads off in bodies. And after Elijah was done with this, the Bible said he went a day's journey because Jezebel sent word to him, said, what you've done to my prophets, said, I'm going to do unto you. And so Elijah ran and he went about a day's journey into the wilderness. It says he came and sat under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And he told God, he said, it's enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. You know, they got a saying in law enforcement. It's called suicide by cop. And it means when a killer or somebody, they are intent on that they're not going to be arrested, that instead of just shooting themselves, they'll point a gun at the police so that the police will kill them. And they call that suicide by cop. Elijah wanted suicide by God. He said, kill me. Kill me. Now, what would get a man that had done such great things and saw the great power of God that was with him, what possibly could get him to go sit down somewhere and say, just kill me? I just want to die. I'm just so miserable. Brother Branham said Elijah had a nervous breakdown. That's right. Said he had a nervous breakdown. Now, back in the time when Brother Branham was speaking this, back in 59, 60, they used the term of nervous breakdown. Today, that term's not used. Today, they call it a major depressive disorder. It's still a nervous breakdown. What a nervous breakdown means is that a person is not able to function as they normally would function. Now, I don't say that to take up for myself, but I said it because as I began to study, I realized that's what had happened to me. And I'll tell you what, friends, there was times when I sat at home and told my wife, I just want to die. I want to escape from this. Brother Branham said even John the Baptist had a nervous breakdown. Believe that? Walked into Herod's place, says, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He's out there baptizing people. When the Pharisees and that come down there, he said, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath of God?" He called them a bunch of snakes and vipers. When he got down there, Brother Branham actually describes him later on. He says, you know, he got like that eagle where their beak gets all crusted up. You know. And he said he got to where the film was over his eyes. And that's when he sent some of his disciples said down to Jesus, said, "Go ask him if he's the one." Why, he knew he was the one. But here's the thing. Say, why would he have a nervous breakdown? Why would John the Baptist have a nervous breakdown? Had a great ministry. But this is the thing, friends. His ministry lasted 6 months. And at the end of that 6 months, he had introduced the Messiah, and his work was done. He was still God's anointed. He still was God's prophet. But the anointing to do something was no longer pushing him. I'll tell you what, under the anointing, I can tell you this. Brother Phil can testify the same. You can do great things under the anointing. You can actually overlook pain and a lot of other things. You know, I've preached over in Philippines one time, and it was so hot, and I started to get dehydrated and didn't realize it while I was preaching, and I got a really bad headache, and I preached right through that headache. When I got finished preaching, and me and the interpreter went off, we went into a little room. There, it was at a school they were having it, and had a big like tent thing set up. And we went out of that tent and went off into a little room, and they had a fan in there, and I sat down, and they gave me some water, and the interpreter was worried about me. He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I just got the worst headache, boy." And what it was is a headache you can get from dehydrating. It was so hot, and while I was preaching, I didn't realize I wasn't taking in enough water. And so I just started dehydrating. I've never had that happen to me while I've been preaching here in the States. But I've had it happen to me when I've been preaching overseas or down in Central America. But with that anointing, you go right on through it. I've preached up here in this pulpit when I was down in my back, where the brothers had to help me get up here. And I had to hang on to this podium right here. I had to hang on to it just to stand up and preach. And once I was done from here, I was a mess. Because once I come out from that anointing, then you feel it. Last year when, you know, I was going through this with my nerves and everything last year, and then I would preach, and I'd go out of here and go back in the back. When I'd get back in the back, I'd just start weeping and crying. I'd pray for people, and God would heal them right there on the spot. I'd go back in the back room and start crying, tell my wife, I can't take what's on me. I can't take this. I can't stand what's happening to me. And I told her one time, I said, I said, I just prayed for people and watched God heal them right there on the spot. I said, this gift helps them, but it's not for me. But I can tell you this, everything I've ever went through, and this is what keeps me going, everything that I've ever went through, it's the Lord that has allowed me to go through it, and there's always been a reason for it. There's always been a reason for it, and there's always been a greater outcome from it once I come through it. And I thank the Lord for that. Someone asked me about taking time and going away. Well, I can point you in the scripture to, if you want to read it, Mark 6, 30 through 32. Jesus and the disciples had been ministering. They came back to Jesus, telling Jesus all they had done. And Jesus told them, he said, Come ye yourselves aside into the desert and rest. And it took them away from the people so they could get some rest. So because the Bible said they didn't even have enough leisure to eat. So it took them aside to rest. Sometimes you need to take a little bit and go to the side and rest. Now, you might think I've been resting all this time that I ain't been preaching. Believe you me, I have not been resting. There's times I could not even sleep. I've been fighting a fight. And I have grown weary in the fighting of it. But I believe that through Christ, I'm an overcomer. And I know this. Brother Bram said, he said, God wouldn't give you the Holy Ghost, then pull you through, he said, like a pipe up to heaven. And then you come out on the other side and him say, well done, and say, you're an overcomer. He said, why, you wouldn't overcome nothing. He said, but when you get the Holy Ghost, you've just entered the battle. You've just got in the fight when you get the Holy Ghost. And said, you're going to have things that you're going to have to overcome. And you might think, well, I've overcome some great things. I thought that until I got hit with this. And this has been the greatest thing I've ever had to fight. Nothing else has ever gotten me down this bad. But this has been a great thing I've had to overcome. And I'll tell you this, friends, you say, you can't overcome it with mind over matter. Mental faith won't do it. People say, well, if you had enough faith, you just walk on by that. Try it sometime. I tell you, I went to the doctor here not long ago. I was having a headache going up the back of my head, and it just wouldn't go away. I still have it. They done CT scans and that, can't find anything wrong. And here I am every day popping Tylenol. Sometimes it don't do nothing. And I'm thankful this morning standing up here, I don't got a headache. But you can talk to people that suffered. I couldn't hardly imagine what it'd be to suffer a migraine headache the way they describe it. But you can talk to people that have. And I'll tell you this, friends, they'll tell you, look, you ain't going to overcome that thing by just saying, well, I'm just going to ignore it and pretend it ain't there. You can't just ignore things and pretend they're not there. God doesn't come down in some mighty way always and deliver you. There are times when he says you are going to have to go through this valley. Hallelujah. But just remember why you are. Remember what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, to the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Remember that. Brother Todd, I was talking to him some time ago, and he had a good illustration, said that when you're out on a ship and there's a storm coming, he says, the storm will throw that ship left and right and it'll bounce you off of things. And he says, you know, you got to just weather through that storm. And he talked about when he'd get in the bunk on the ship and have to wedge himself in to keep the storming waves from throwing him right out of the bunk. And the thing is, you get battered going through the storms. But you got to ride it out. And I'll tell you this. The other day I was reading about something they call rogue waves. And just a wave just comes out of nowhere and hits you all of a sudden. And Brother Todd was talking to me about it and said, yeah, they tell you don't never turn your back on the ocean. And you don't know what happened. And I believe I was really coming through a storm. And I know I was getting tossed around. But I had confidence I'd come out on the other side. I didn't know how long it was going to take, but I had confidence. That's what, friends, that's what kept me, that's what kept my life.
Amen.
That's what kept my life. Because it, if I'd have become a place where I didn't think I was ever going to come out of it, I don't know what I'd have done. I don't know what I'd have done. You know, there's, I can tell you the accounts of Brother Branham, different things that happened in his ministry, how people showed him disrespect and things that happened to him. Like that woman one time said, I wouldn't give that kind of religion to my, to my cow. And said she began to have a heart attack and she was calling out for them to go get Brother Branham and bring him there. And she died 3 minutes before he got there. 3 minutes before he got there, she passed. And said it was so hard that the freckles on her face had popped out. Said her eyeballs had bulged out and turned up. The nurse met Brother Branham out in the hall and told him, said, he had rushed to get up there. He was rushing to get up there when the word got to him about it. You think he'd turn around and say, well, after she said what she said to me, I ain't going up there. No, he rushed to get up there to her. When he got up there, the nurse told him, it's too late. She just passed 3 minutes ago. Said, but she said to give you a message. She said, tell that preacher that what I said about that, please forgive me. The husband asked Brother Branham, said, could you pray for her? Brother Branham said, won't do no good to pray now. She's done gone. He said, whatever way a tree leans, that's the way it'll fall. Whew. I'll tell you what, I want to be leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Amen. Whew. I don't want to be leaning that way. But there's a, see, she, it wasn't that she wasn't a religious person. It isn't that many times people, even around the message, they're very religious. But I read something today, Brother Branham said. He said, it don't matter how much religion you got. It takes salvation to bring life. People can have a whole lot of religion. But I'll tell you this, there's a call that's went out. And there is a bride that is gathering, trimming her lamps. Amen. And they're full of oil. Amen? And we're getting ready to leave out of here, folks. We're getting ready to leave out of here. And the devil, he would like to give us, he, right up to the very end, he's going to be swinging. Right up to the very end, he'll be swinging at us, trying to hit us with everything he can. But the thing is, Brother Branham said in times like that, what you do is draw that much more closer together. Pray for one another. Amen? Draw that much closer together. Hallelujah. When I was really down about the things that have been said about me and those things that went on Facebook, and then finding, when I think I'm about over it, I find out other people have read it and just makes me get to me all over again. But I keep coming back to a scripture. And that's in Isaiah 54:17. It said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon formed that'll prosper against you. I've often said this, many times maybe you heard me say it, I'd rather be the one that was being spoke against than to be the one that's doing the speaking against. Because the Bible says, when they do that to you, it said, rejoice in that day. It says, shout in that day. For so did they, the prophets. Amen. So I'd rather be in this side of it, this group. Somebody's got to fulfill that other part. I don't want to fulfill it. I don't want to be saying nothing. Friends, look, what good would it do me to say anything about somebody else? I don't want to say nothing bad about nobody. And I'll tell you this, them putting that out there on Facebook, I don't wish no harm on them. But I'll tell you this, I can't prevent none either. I watched a woman that called me up, left me a horrible message, showed me such great disrespect. I was driving downtown, went past the place where she worked. She was standing out there smoking a cigarette. She saw me coming, and she done like this. It wasn't long after that she had a stroke. And you know how she died? She died not even knowing, up here in this nursing home. She died not even knowing who she was. I know that because it just so happened my daughter was working up there at the time, and that was one of her patients, turned out. She died not even knowing who she was. I don't wish that on people. But I tell you this, they need to be careful. And I want to leave you with this, the last thing I want to leave you with. It wasn't just Moses and Joshua that God prevented the people and nations from cursing or touching. It was Israel. It was the people of Israel. They were anointed people of God. So that same goes for you. It does. People can't go out be speaking evil of you and think they're going to get by with it. Not that we wish anything on them. And to be honest, I feel sorry for them. Because they've got themselves so possessed by a demon. We need to watch what we say. You know, and Brother Bram, you heard this. He said, if you ain't got nothing nice to say about nobody, don't say nothing at all. That's the best way to look at it. You know? And Brother Branham said there was a sister that somebody said, well, she was saying that she wouldn't say nothing bad about nobody. And they said, what about the devil? She said, he's a good adversary. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, so thankful, Lord, for the touch of your hands, Lord. Lord, I feel so weak within myself, God. But Lord, I know as I was praying at the house, I said, my strength cometh from you. Not from within myself, Lord. Lord, but we find strength from you when we're at our weakest times. Lord, I ask you, bless the people, dear God. Bless the word that went forth. I pray, Lord, that you will bless the people the remainder part of this day, their fellowship as they eat, Lord. I pray, dear God, that may you bring us back on the appointed time here together. Lord, watch over each one, Lord, this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Phil, could you come?
Amen. It's good to have have Brother Jerry back. Praise the Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. Give up that faith, that hope, and you sit still. But as long as you have that faith, faith is a long-range vision. You don't look right down at what's going on. You see, I see my deliverance right up there, and I'm going to keep going. Don't know how long I'm going to get there, how long it's going to take. Don't know what it's going to look like. But one day, I was called here for a purpose. God hasn't taken that away. I'm still here. Then I'm going to get through this. Amen. I'm going to be better than before. Can't you see why I'm so happy? Can't you see? Why I'm happy? Well, I've accepted.